Jesus has given us a helper, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has a fruit. Come on in and sit down. That's all right. Make yourself at home. We read of the Holy Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5, if you'd like to turn over there. What do we think of when somebody says the fruit of the Spirit, or we speak of the fruit of the Spirit? Do you have any thoughts that come to mind in that? What is the fruit of a Spirit? In a spiritual sense. Product of someone else leading. Mm-hmm. Chuck?
The ability to conduct yourself in the way that God wants you, no matter what the person
is. It's a product of life given to us by the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit has that produce or that yielding. Or that result, you might call it. And we do too, because the Spirit is in us. So we have those same benefits or qualities. Let's just read about it here. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Deeds are what you perform, what you do, or what you continue to do, or what you perpetuate. If someone were to speak of you, what would they say? They would probably talk about your deeds. Are those deeds of the flesh? Are they deeds of the Spirit? Or of the Spirit? In John 3:6, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, we all know that we are born of the flesh initially, but when we come into Christ and are baptized, we are given the Holy Spirit, and we are born of a, we have a new birth in the Spirit. And it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and it's not fruits, it's fruit. Singular, pet peeve. Sorry about that. Just like street of gold. It's not streets of gold, it's street of gold. Sorry. But it is singular. And it's the unity of God's character. It's a product of sowing. In Galatians 6:8, it says, for the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then it's got a list of a bunch of elements behind that, or a bunch of characteristics, I guess you could call them, elements. And those all are all involved in love. And they are joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fullness, gentleness, and self-control. And these are all qualities of love. And you go down back in verse 24, we said, and those belong to Christ Jesus who has been crucified. Or Christ Jesus and have been crucified the flesh. We have crucified the flesh with His passions and desires. So these things belong to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we can kind of see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, beginning in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth, with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Again, that is for those who belong to Christ. And we talk about love pretty often, so I'm not going to dwell on it a whole lot this evening. If time allows, we might get back to that in 2 or 3 weeks. The English language has one word for love. It's love. It entails a whole multitude of things. The Greeks, I do not speak Greek, I do not study Greek, but it's my understanding that Greeks have 4 words for love. The physical love is eros. A family love is storge. I'm not sure I pronounced that correctly. But affectionate love is philia. And then there's a love of choice called agape. And that's the love that we're talking about this evening. Agape love is an attitude of heart that will seek the highest good of another. It involves humility of the person who has it. It is a sacrificial love. It is a love that has nothing to do with feelings other than your love of God. It is an embracing love that seeks a brother's highest good regardless of cost, whether they deserve it or not, if they don't, whether they ask for it or not, and regardless of how many times that they may have hurt you or offended you. And our pattern should be the love of Christ that He had for us when we were enemies. In Romans 5:10, it says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." He sacrificed His life for us. In Ephesians 3:19, it tells us that this love surpasses our knowledge, and we can only come from seeing the example of love that is shown to us on the cross. Just can't understand it quite. Can't get our minds around it. In Matthew 5:44, Jesus tells us, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Well, it's pretty hard to love your enemies. But you see this love in the lives of Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, and in 1 Corinthians 5:14, where it says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, and therefore all died." And do we allow the love of Christ to control us? That's our question. Do we do that? In 1 John 4:7 to 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. What's joy? Joy Wheeler, yeah. Joy K. Stinnett Watson, is it? It's another joy. You know it when you see it. Know it when you feel it. Gladness of heart. Delight. Satisfaction. Contentment. A lot of times, too many of us tie joy to the circumstances that are favorable to us. That's not necessarily so. And this is really not the joy that's found in the fruit of the Spirit. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy is a gift from God, and you can find it in believing God, in obeying God. Romans 15:13. Joy is a yes, Leroy. That could tie back with satisfaction, contentment. And it's love. It's all tied into love. Yeah. Yes, Lynn. Yeah, joy is a... Lonnie, do you have a thought? Well, it can mean one thing at this time, and it mean another thing at another time, and another thing at another time, and a different thing to somebody else. You know, but it can all still be joy, or it can all still be love, or whatever. But Joy can be and is a blessing to sustain us in times of persecution or tribulation or trials, struggles. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 25, let's turn over there. I'm sorry I'm skipping around a lot, but I could skip around a lot more. Matthew chapter 25. This is a parable of the talents, beginning in verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with him and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The one also who had received 2 talents came and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But the master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and I gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. So he took everything away from him, and they cast him out. These two that returned the 5 talents, the one returned 5 talents and the one returned the 2 talents, in addition to what they were given, what were they doing? How did they do that? They were serving the master. They had surrendered to their master, and they had a faithful heart, and they, whatever they were entrusted with, they took care of and increased double fold. And that's something that leads us, is when we surrender to our master and we have a faithful heart, that brings us into a relationship with our Father. But if we don't do that, then we're going to be like that third guy. We're going to be cast out. When we serve the Lord with all of our heart, the Lord moves us to joy. And it's a product of life given to God, from God. Why do we feel good when we do the Lord's work? to give than receive. And it's given to us from God. Chuck? I think we all agree that this life can be a struggle at many times, and we can get down and depressed, and we can just have stuff piled on us. But nowhere do we come into comparison, or I've never seen anybody come into comparison of what Jesus had to endure. And how did he do it? He served as master. I mean, he had some, all his life, he had horrible circumstances that he had to go through. And even in Isaiah 53, it was prophesied that he was a man of sorrows and was acquainted with grief. Yet he possessed a deep joy that was beyond anything that the world could offer. Now, sometimes a world can offer joy, but not like the joy of God. Yes, Dave. Well, that was the next verse I was going to read, but thank you for reading it. Joy is the reason why Jesus went through all the suffering that he had to face. Yes. Jesus was set on the joy set before him, and the Hebrew writer tells us they were fixing their eyes on Jesus. So where do we have our eyes fixed? Hopefully Jesus. So that we too can obtain that joy, and that we too can obtain eternal life. In Philippians 3:1, it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Rejoice in the Lord." It's a command. Rejoice in the Lord. Down in 4:4, Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Well, how could they rejoice when they were suffering? Paul penned this in prison. You suffer when you're in prison. Well, they rejoice, or they have joy, by looking through the reward in heaven. If we do this from a pure and dedicated heart, we too can rejoice. And our outcome will be joy. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. All these things tie into joyously giving thanks to the Father because He has qualified us to share in the inheritance. And what will be the outcome of seeking and rejoicing? We will have joy. So joy begets joy. Joy begets joy. What are some causes of joy?
Gift from God.
What about the, it's a good example. What about the father of the prodigal son? Was he joyful when his son came home, repented? Are we not also joyful when our brethren repent? Angels in heaven rejoice, yes. Forgiveness. Forgiveness can cause joy or create joy. I don't know if it causes. Salvation. When someone is baptized into Christ, creates much joy. Acts 14, verse 17, we read of temporal blessings. I'm sorry, I don't think that's correct. I think it's 4:17. And that's not it either. Temporal blessings. Beautiful days. Sunshine. Warmth. Wind. Pretty snow. Those are temporal blessings. Thank you. In 1 Peter 4, Peter 4:13, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. when Christ comes again, we will rejoice. Things that kill joy, destroy joy. That didn't sound that good either. So. Things that kill the fruit of the joy, fruit of joy. Deeds of the flesh. It's what we read about earlier. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife and jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. All those kill God's joy. I don't think you can find any joy in any of those things. Sin and sinful attitudes always kill the fruit of joy. Chuck?
Sometimes we can think that we're being led by the Spirit to do things that God wants us to do. Maybe largely we are, but we can so easily let our desires or needs of the flesh creep in and get fixed in. And then, you know, we'll go a little further down the path and kind of realize one day that, you know, where we thought we were headed, we didn't end up there. And we realized, we thought we were headed towards God, and we realized we weren't. And we're sad.
Yeah. Thank you all very much.